We hope you enjoy this teaching brought to you by Pastor Steve Kelly and Wave Church. We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching, and we believe it will enrich and empower your life.
But I want to just talk to you this morning. If you're visiting this morning, welcome. This is a special day. This is actually Vision Sunday. And so what I want to do is I want to just talk to you about seven things that I feel like the Lord's really put an emphasis on for 2012. Now, if you're involved in church life in a department that I don't mention, it's not that we don't have a vision for that. Of course we do. But the seven things I feel the Lord just wants to put an emphasis on for 2012. Are you ready for it? And so if you have pen and paper, I encourage you to write this down because these are an important part of the vision and the mission of Wave Church, what we want to do as a church in this year, to believe God to not just have influence in Hampton Roads, but to have an influence in our nation and around the world. Are you excited? Yeah. All right. So here we go. Number one. Everybody say number one. Here we go. Here's the first scripture I want to give you. The Bible says in Proverbs 29, verse 18, in the King James, it says, where there is no vision, people perish. So let me just say this to you. If you and I do not have vision for our lives, we will perish. But not only will we perish, but what about all the people God's called us to reach? Then they'll perish as well. Because if we're perishing because we have no vision, then we're not doing what God's called us to do, but we're not reaching the people God's called us to reach. Another translation says people dwell carelessly. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2 and 3. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets. So here's what you got to do. You got to write out the vision. That's what I want to do with you this morning. I want to write out the vision and I want to make it plain. Anybody who's got a God vision has a vision that you can write down. And let me say this to you, it's plain. If it's too complicated, you actually haven't really figured out what it is yet. You should be able to spell it out in a simple, in a plain, clear, precise manner. That's a God vision. Amen? It says, write it out on tablets. Make it plain. So he who may run, who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end, it will speak. It will not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. It says, though it tarry, wait for it. It will come. It will not tarry. How's that for God? Amen? God says, come on, make it plain. So I want to give you seven things this morning that I believe that we're going to put an emphasis on. I'm going to go through them quickly because I've got a video here that our media team really did a phenomenal job putting together really the vision of Wave Church. And we're doing something new and exciting, and it's the seventh thing I want to share with you. But here we go. Everybody say number one. All right, everybody say connect. Now look at Acts chapter 2, verse 46. It says, so continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and with simplicity of heart. Notice the Bible says that the vision is to be plain. And notice here the Bible says they met from house to house with simplicity of heart. You know, if you get involved in something that is too complicated, that is just, you know, too many things, it just, to me, it's not a God thing. A God thing, it becomes simple. The profound things become simple. Amen? And the Bible says here, they met from house to house. One of the major goals I have for Wave Church in 2012 is that every person in Wave Church, somewhere, somehow, will be connected to a connect group. Everybody say connect group. We used to call them cell groups, but we kind of felt like, well, we need to probably change the name. It kind of has a negative connotation nowadays with, you know, cells and terrorist cells and all the rest of it. So we just thought, let's just call it Connect, because that's really what it is. The Bible says they met from house to house. This is a biblical and scriptural precedent. And let me tell you, I believe with all my heart, for 2012, we're going to see hundreds upon hundreds of Connect groups. And people connected to a connect group. Matter of fact, with that end in mind, as of January, I've got to make sure I've got the date right, the 24th, which is a Tuesday night, we're going to be launching a weekly connect meeting right here at Wave Church. It'll be the same meeting every Tuesday night. And what it is for all the new people that are coming to Wave Church and all the new Christians, the first thing we want to do is get you to that just one Tuesday night. Not 6 weeks, not 8 weeks, just one. And just get you to that one Tuesday night meeting where we'll just take an hour and a half to talk to you about how to get connected to a connect group. You with me here? And it'll be happening every single Tuesday night. The end in mind is that everybody might somewhere, somehow be connected to a connect group. God is not all you need. I love to say that because I love those little looks on people's faces when I say it. What? God, I know we have songs that says he's all I need, but that's not true. Theologically, it is the opposite of what God says. When God made Adam, and the Bible says he made all the birds of the air, all the fish in the sea, and all the creatures that crawl on the ground, and all the animals, and God said, it is not good for man to be alone. And God was there when he said it. So God's saying, I'm not all Adam needed. We were created to be in relationship. Come on. So then he made Eve. He gave Adam a partner, a relationship. And God said when he made Adam, let us make man in our image, inclusive, not singular, but community, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. So if we're made in the image and the likeness of God, then we are called to be in community. It's not just me and God. It's not just coming to church on Sunday morning and Sunday night and God. But as we come to the house of God, we hear preaching and get inspired with God vision and hear the word of God. But somewhere, somehow, in the Bible as well, it's essential for your spiritual growth, for your spiritual maturity, that you are connected somewhere in a meeting from house to house to build friendship and relationship. Come on, somebody say amen. And you're going to see a major emphasis with connect groups. You're going to see a whole new aspect of our foyer coming up here soon where we're going to be very deliberate, very intentional about building those. We're going to have a meet the team night once a month at Wave Church on a Sunday night for all the new people and all the new Christians to come and meet the team. We're going to have water baptisms once a month on a Sunday night. For every new person, every new Christian that's getting saved in the house of God, we're going to see them baptized and we want to see them in a connect group. Amen. I know some people, yeah, come on, if you're going to clap, let's do it. I know some people's schedules are varied. I know some people's schedules are challenging. We're going to do everything we can to start as many connect groups to accommodate every person we possibly can. Even with our business people on March the 16th, which is Sharon's birthday, by the way. But don't tell her I told you that, okay? She hates surprises. And how many know I love to give her surprises? And so March 16th actually will be the first of what we'll do, 3 or 4 meetings a year with our business people. I want to continue to be a voice to our business people. And I want to make sure that we still have an opportunity to rally and gather our business people. We're going to do it right here at Wave Church. We're going to have caterers come in. And I want to continue to be a voice to our business leaders, to be a voice to the entrepreneurs who are connected to Wave Church. And I want to make sure we don't lose sight of that opportunity for all, for everybody, to be involved somewhere, somehow, in a connect group. Somebody say, that sounds good. All right, number two is our youth. So number one is connect groups. Number two, in terms of our vision for 2012, look what the Bible says in Proverbs 14, verse 4. It says, where there is no oxen, the crib is clean. But much increase is by the strength of an ox. And let me just say it this way. Young people are the ox of Wave Church. There is much strength in an ox. Let me tell you, a lot of the strength of who I believe Wave Church is, many families, the first introduction that you had with Wave Church was by your children coming into our youth group and seeing what God has done in their life. And then you realizing, man, I want to be in the house with my kids. There's much strength, there's much energy, there's much resource, there's much involvement, there's much passion. But where there's no ox, the crib is clean. So we can have a clean church and have no young people. Right. You with me here? Or we can have a dirty church. Come on. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, you know what I'm saying. Yeah, don't take that too far, but you know what I'm saying. In terms of young people, where they're the ox, there's strength in the oxen, isn't there? But where there's no ox, the crib is clean. If you don't have an ox, the crib is clean. But if you have an ox, the crib is dirty. It's messed up. There's droppings. There's ox business going on. Yeah. And I would rather have a crib that isn't clean and have an ox in it. I'd rather have young people in the house of God. So let me just say, I love our young people. But particularly, man, our young adults is phenomenal. Joe and Lauren do an amazing job building up an army of young adults that are just doing amazing things for God. But in our middle school and high school, we've had a few challenges as a result of the dirty crib. Now, the fact of the matter is, we have an ox, so the crib is dirty. You hear me here? And we need to now respond to some of the challenges, some of the things that are happening on a Saturday night. Anthony Converti, who's down on our South Campus, I don't know if he's made it back here yet, tells me that on an average Saturday night, we are busing in over 250 people from Norfolk alone. And then from Salem High School, 100, 150, and all these different high schools. We're getting a bit of a concern now because we've got this ox, and there's great strength in the ox, but we've had some disturbing things happen on the buses and, you know, particularly just responding to this fact that we've got this ox. But there's been some challenges where some of the young people, there's been, you know, fights on the bus and all sorts of challenges, and we are responding to that. Willie George was just here last weekend, and let me tell you, Willie just been through this himself. Why reinvent the wheel? So we sat down, our youth team, with Willie, and we're putting in some policies that unless the parents give permission for their kids to be on the bus with a code of conduct and a code of behavior, and, you know, they misbehave, they're out. They'll get one warning. And then if they don't behave, they're out for a month. If they misbehave again, they'll never be allowed back in again. And the reason for it is we have to make sure that we protect what God is doing in our youth ministry and not let the whole thing be taken over by people who are there for wrong reasons. Can you say amen? And to me, if we have young people just sort of getting on the bus and just, you know, because a crowd draws a crowd. And just because you're a crowd doesn't mean it's good. You hear me here? And you have young people just, you know, arms folded during the worship and mocking during the preaching. Let me just show you, because we've struggled with this, because we want to keep reaching out to all these young people. But let me tell you, it's got to a point where if we don't address this, I kind of feel like some parents will kind of feel like, I'm not so sure if I want my young person going to youth. And we're responding to it. And this is how we're responding to it. I talked with Willie George and I struggle with it. And this is the scripture he gave me, Genesis 21. But Sarah saw that a son whom Hagar the Egyptian had born was mocking, and to Abraham was mocking. So Ishmael was mocking. Everybody got that? And she said to Abraham, get rid of that slave woman and her son, for that woman's son will never share the inheritance of my son Isaac. This troubled Abraham very much because Ishmael was also his son. Could you imagine? Here we have, and there are some young people getting on those buses that are just there to mock. Just there to create a disturbance, just there to start a fight. And we're thinking, man, we got to get rid of that mocking thing. We got to protect Isaac. You hear me? And the Bible says here that Isaac was disturbed because this is someone that he felt like he needed to take care of. But look what God said, verse 12. But God said to Abraham, don't be troubled about the boy and the slave woman. Do whatever Sarah tells you. Listen to this. I promised, he goes, the descendants I promised you will be that from Isaac. So here's the challenge. Where there's no ox, the crib is clean. You hear me here? We'll never be that safe, white, middle-class church that you could ever come to. Come on, somebody say amen. We got a bit of a mess going on, but I kind of like the mess. But we're not going to put up with a mocking spirit. And here's what we got to do. We got to protect Isaac. Did you hear me? We're going to make some response. And what we're going to do is we're going to separate the middle school and the high school youth ministry on a Saturday night. I knew you'd like it. And it just means a whole bunch of new leadership teams that need to happen. It'll still be on a Saturday night, but the middle schools will be in one place. The high schoolers will be in here. And we're going to make sure that we don't allow people to come and interfere with the spirit of our youth ministry. And church, I'll be in our youth group and I'll be letting them know and I'll be calling them out. We will be protecting the Isaac in Jesus' name. Do you receive that? Amen. Everybody say connect. Everybody say youth. All right, here's number three, national and global influence. Psalm 2 verse 8, ask of me and I will give you, make so. I'm so excited, I'm ahead of myself. Ask of me and I will make the nations your inheritance and the end of the earth your possession. I believe that God has called Wave Church to have not just a regional, but a national and an international influence. There's a couple of major things that I believe we do as a church that give us that regional and national and international influence. Number one is Wave Conference. How many love Wave Conference every August? And churches from all over the world come in. Pastors from all over the world fly in to be at Wave Conference because what God is doing here, they want happening in their church. And Wave Conference and Devoted, which is coming up real soon with our women's conference. People from all over the United States, our network churches, their pastors' wives and their girls fly in and drive in to be at that conference. It is a global and a national influence that God's called us to have. Our Wave Worship, how many love the new songs that are coming out of the house? Amen. Did you know, I'm amazed at the songs. Tonight there'll be another new song that's coming out of Wave Church, our album, Heart and Soul, and the future albums that God is going to give us. And I believe that's another area that we can have global and national influence in Jesus' name. Wave TV is yet another area. Then think about just not just my traveling, but think about our team. I think about Robert and what God's enabled, open doors for him to be preaching all over the United States and the influence that God has given us nationally through traveling. And think about Joe Riddle, and I think about, you know, the places that he's been asked to speak, and, you know, Frony, and, you know, I'm going to start missing people now. Clayton was just in Australia preaching in two churches, I think it was, with Mike Murphy, and the influence that God is giving us. And can I say this to your church? Thank you for being so generous, not to be possessive of the pastoral leadership team, but thank you for being willing to share our pastors to be a blessing to the body of Christ around the world. That's a generous act on your behalf. I've never once felt guilty. I've never once been left feeling like, you know, oh God, you know, I hope the church is okay with this. I love to hear you. We've been praying for you. Tell me, where have you been? What's God been doing? I got a phone call yesterday from Richard Parenchief, who pastors a big church in Ocala, Florida, one of our network churches. And he said, Steve, he goes, I want to ask you a favor. I said, what is it, Richard? He goes, I want to ask you, is it okay to ask your son, Sam Kelly? And we want to fly him down to speak in our youth group. And I said, man, that's fine. No problem at all. It'd be great. Sam's up for it. He'll do it. And Sam was just with me in South Africa. We shared a stage together, talking to dads about raising their sons. And then he says, but here's the other thing. Our worship pastor has asked, would Sam please speak with the key leaders of his worship team and talk to them about, you know, insights and wisdom he has about worship. I said, Richard, he is only 17 now. He says, yeah, but we love his spirit. We love what's on him. And we just want to pull out of him what is inside of him. The church, I believe that's our mantle to be a blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, number four. So number three is our national and our global influence through conferences, worship, TV, through traveling. But number four is our leadership training. This one's important to me. We have a full-time leadership college here called Wave Leadership College. I love our college. I love what God is doing in our college. We have a part-time school, part-time night school, and we have a full-time day school. And Jason has overseen that for the last several years, and under his leadership, it has really, really grown and matured. And the first thing I said to Jason when he came on staff, I said, Jason, I want to pursue, listen to this, full accreditation with the Department of Education. I'm not talking about Bible colleges recognizing each other. If you recognize me, I'll recognize you. You hear me here? That happens, and we've got that, and that's all nice. But the truth of the matter is, I know parents, when they're making decisions about where their young people in the college they're going to go to, one of the most important questions you ask is it accredited? Will there be a transferring of credits? And we are pursuing to have our candidate status in 2013, which is next year. It's an aggressive goal. We've spent a lot of money investing into this college with consultants to get us there. There's only but one real large obstacle, and there's challenges, but we can rise to all the challenges. We just had a review done by the the ABHE, and they did a review on us, and it was a glowing report. The thing we've got to do is we've got to spend $100,000 on our college library, and that's really the only real major obstacle that we can see that would actually not get us. Now, that means students can get students' loans. That means you can transfer credits to any other college across the country. How many think this is good? Amen. And so I decided that we're going to approach 10 different companies who wants to be involved in this. If they will donate $10,000 for a period, $10,000, 10 companies donate $10,000, then we'll give what's called a corporate acknowledgement on our screens before and after our service. And between, over the course of 12 months, there are literally hundreds of thousands of people that come in and out of this church. Are you hearing me? And we'll just on our screens give a corporate acknowledgement, but those funds will give us the money to buy the college library. How many think that's a good idea right there? Amen. And I'm committed to our leadership training in Jesus' name. Number five. Actually, I don't know if Josh and Jess are here yet. They're probably going to come a bit later. I asked them to join me at 12:30. So let me just mention our children's facility, and I'm going to talk about them when they get in. Someone don't let me forget. Are they here? You are here. Stand up, Josh and Jess. I didn't know you were here. All right, Josh and Jess are our children. Come down here, guys. It's a bit hard to see you. Come on down here for a moment. These are our children's pastors. And I love these guys. And Jess, of course, works in our children's learning center. And Josh, come up here and stand on this. They're going to stand there and be humble, aren't you? Come and stand. Let me brag on you for a minute. Josh, really, they're a couple. They are children's pastors of Wave Church. They're in this together. They believe in the mission of children's ministry. They've got all that down pat. There's no issues there. But really, Josh is the person that's paid by Wave Church to do this. Now, Jess is very behind, very involved. She works for Children's Learning Center. You got it? This man, pretty well, with the support of his wife, single-handedly runs all of our children's ministry on Sunday morning and Sunday night and right across the entire spiritual development of all the children. It says a lot about this guy because there's a lot of churches that have a lot more people paid on staff to do what he does by himself, which says how good of a leader he is and how he can mobilize volunteers and leaders. Amen. And I'm just bragging on you. And I want you guys to appreciate him. They are worth their weight in gold. The next major investment we want to put on terms of staffing is to actually add to our children's staff. Amen? And we want to double the size of our epicenter and build a purpose-built, so it's not just the children's learning center now, a purpose-built facility for all of our kids that the children's learning center can have access to, but we're building it for all of the kids' programs and it'll be purpose-built for you guys. You're excited about that, aren't you? So come on, give these guys a hand. They're awesome. All right, that's number five, our children's ministry. We want to put a strong emphasis on them. We want to resource them more than we ever have before. And number six, if we say number six, is we're just doing some church health seminars. And this year, we've invited Dr. Robbie, I got to get the name right, Sonderegger. Is that right? Who's ever heard of Dr. Robbie Sonderegger? Trust me, you will be so glad you heard this man speak. We've invited him to be at our faith and health and financial seminar. Now, this man is a doctor. He's a medical doctor. He's actually got incredible knowledge in psychology and health. Is that right, Romes? It's like neurological responses and tuning into how we think and how our thinking really does affect our health. And he's speaking for people all over the world. He's one of the greatest experts on the subject of health that you'll ever want to hear. And we've got him coming to speak for us. And we're doing a church health and faith and finance seminar. I've also invited Rob Morris, the pastor of Gateway Church in Texas. We're still waiting for his acceptance of that invitation. But one of the greatest churches in the United States, one of the most amazing churches on faith and finances you'll ever want to hear in America. And I'm really hoping and praying he accepts that invitation because I want to make sure we keep talking about health and want to make sure we keep talking about not just physical health, but financial health as well. Amen. So there's six things, but I have a seventh. And to start it off, I want to just say this to you. It's called Wave Foundation. Everybody say Wave Foundation. Now, I have two bricks in my hands, and behind me, there's a whole bunch of different bricks here, and I think we even have a clip here of a house. Do we have that? The house, if we have that. Now, I feel like, now leave it up there. Don't take it off until I tell you. They took it off early last time. I kind of feel like what we've done at Wave Church over the last 13 years has been great in terms of raising finances for the building. How many think it's been here we are today. How many think it's been a great journey so far? We're building on our south property right now as we speak. Matter of fact, we sold that phone tower lease for $925,000. That enabled us to have the funds to actually go ahead and start building our south campus. Amen? That's exciting, isn't it? And somebody said to me just recently, well, you know, Steve, you've been leaving for $1 million. Well, there it is, $925,000. And I said, what is it about $1 million you don't understand? I'm still believing God for $1 million check. And $925,000 is not $1 million. Come on, somebody say amen. I'm just believing for that. You don't get it unless you believe for it. But I kind of feel like what we've done when we do our mission, when we do our work in Mototo, rescuing child soldiers, and we help children with AIDS and do our response to humanitarian aid with the Naval SEAL Foundation, and we do God's called us to do in terms of planting churches and with Wave City Care and Wave Television and church planting, I kind of feel like we've been holding one brick up at a time. And there's the whole story. It's the house. But I kind of feel like, well, here's a brick. It's called humanitarian aid and response. Here's a brick. It's called the building fund. Here's another brick. It's called, you know, church planning. Here's another brick. The pastor in Moscow, the salary we support for the church plant. Here's another brick. The orphanage in Russia that we support. And I don't want to do the brick thing anymore. I want to tell the whole story. So our media team have worked so hard to get this ready. Matter of fact, from Christmas to New Year, all of our church staff were given the week off, but our media team didn't take that week off. They've been working so hard on preparing this video for you. We're still going to make sure they get some time off to replace the time that they worked, but they were here till midnight last night, just putting the finishing touches on trying to tell, look, no longer the brick, but the whole story. You with me here? And so rather than me trying to explain to you all of that, what that looks like with Wave Foundation, look up on the screen. It's going to be a few minutes. So relax and enjoy this video.
Over a decade ago, the vision for Wave Church was birthed through the willing hearts of Steve and Sharon Kelly. Its goal, local and global, to reach the people of Hampton Roads, the surrounding communities, and the nations of the world with the message of God's love. With a clear purpose, Steve and Sharon stepped out in faith, trusting that God would fulfill the vision He had given them. Under their leadership, the church grew exponentially. Initiatives taken early on led to the planning and designing of a building program, one that would not only house the church's current needs, but match its vision for the future. A vision that not only includes Hampton Roads, but seeks to increase its impact abroad. While paper and pen marked what could be, the people's generosity made it a reality. Three committed groups, Kingdom People, Centurions, and the Army of Faithful Believers, financially partnered and faithfully supported the building of facilities that would carry the mission of Wave Church for generations to come. The faith, passion, and commitment of those who have given sacrificially is evident through the lives transformed by the movement of God. While much has changed, the same vision remains. This is our story.
I always knew I wanted to get into engineering and construction. Buildings always fascinated me. So ever since I was at a young age, my dad really got me involved in Legos and building blocks. When I graduated from high school, I went to Old Dominion and studied civil engineering. When I was at Old Dominion, I really felt like God speaking to me to not only study engineering, but even take it a step further and working in corporate America and really having that impact, a godly impact out in the world.
I was experiencing the feelings of being lost and alone. I've been going through some stuff in my life for about a few months, actually. On Sunday morning, I decided to get in my car and literally drive around. I had no destination in mind. As I came around the bend on Old Donation, looking over to my right, I found a parking lot full of cars. I knew it was a church. Personally, aesthetics do draw me in. When you're alone and you feel like you're always going to be alone. There's something to say about pulling into a parking lot full of cars and then having that feeling of alone just kind of go away. I went into 11:15 service and really just heard a message, of course, that naturally hit home, hit me right where I needed it to, and really in introducing myself to all these people, it was a unique feeling of a feeling at home even though I'd never been there. And I gave my life to Christ that night. Through the rest of 2010, I didn't miss a Sunday morning, Sunday night, or Wednesday night service. And around the end of 2010, something clicked that so many people had given into this building, had given into this seat far before they even knew I existed, far before they knew that I would walk in. But they had faith that myself and so many others would one day need a parking lot to park in, need a building to come into, and need a seat to sit in. And I thought it's only fair that I begin to invest in something like that. As I began to invite people and they begin to sit next to me, and that seat being there, I kind of took some ownership of that a little bit and said, wow, it's been my faith and those before me that allow me to invite people into this building and invite this into the parking lot and to hopefully invite people into many other buildings in Virginia Beach and Hampton Roads as we move forward.
One of the reasons why I got into this business is because I really love seeing the end product and how a school that we might build really affect the local community. And building a church that I'm a part of, that I've been a part of for many years, really, really touched home because I was able to not only financially be able to help bless and build this building, but more importantly, I was able to really help with how this building was constructed. There's no better feeling than walking into the church and really seeing how uplifting this church really is. Our facilities really open up an opportunity to really touch home and have a great relationship with God.
Being a business owner, there's a certain amount of influence that you have in your community. And at some point during building a business, you realize that there's more to it than a business.
We really were the picture of a broken marriage. I don't think that it could have gotten any worse. We both in the past struggled with the drugs and alcohol, and we just had a lot of different hurts and hang-ups and strongholds in our life.
I knew I couldn't do it on my own. I had to find help, and I had to find it in a great way. I talked to a pastor, a friend here at church, and he redirected me to Regen.
And when we started the program, we just really started to learn what healing looked like and what recovery looked like and how we could live a life set free. So eventually we were able to start sharing what we had learned with other people, and now both are able to lead, you know, the women and men to help them work through their issues in recovery too. We have two amazing boys now. We have an awesome marriage, and it's because people chose to just give.
It's because of the spirit of generosity in this house, and it's because others gave before me to have stuff like this. It's not just to have lights on and coffee and this and that. It's to actually make a difference in the community.
We're just so thankful for people just having the vision to see the need for a program like Regeneration, because without it, we may not even be married today.
Wave City Care has really been a great opportunity for us to give back to the community. They've been very consistent in reaching out to the communities and touching the lives of thousands of people, people that we'll never meet. That we'll never see in many cases. So it's an honor to be able to give to them and affect people's lives.
I've been working as a media professional since 05. I work for a local creative production company. Still to this day, I'm so amazed by what an impact that media can have on the lives of others. When I came on this team, it was about more than being a volunteer. It was about being part of something that's bigger than myself.
people at school was calling me names of saying that I won't be in nothing. It really like put me down in my confidence. That day I woke up, I was feeling kind of sad, so I just went downstairs and turned the TV on. I was going through the channels, and all of a sudden I came up with channel 3, and I checked the info, and it said Wave Church with Pastor Steve Kelly, and that's when I started to watch it. I just can't believe that what he was saying was like true. At the end of the broadcast, he said, say the prayer. And so when I said the prayer, I was like, I should like call. So I grabbed my phone and dialed the number. I called and asked about the bus. So I started coming, and then after that, like, I kept going every Sunday. And then I started going on Saturdays. And then I got into a cell group. And then I started helping out with Wave City Care. And also, I just got involved with everything. Wave Church wasn't on TV. I wouldn't be going to church at all. I'd be like same old, same old. Now I understand that I'm a child of God, that God have a future for me in life.
I think sometimes we don't even realize the lives that we've reached beyond this building. When I think about the impact that this church has through media, I'm so excited. There's a whole group of people that we wouldn't have even been able to reach if we didn't have this tool.
One of the biggest things that I've made a priority in life is just making sure that it's not all about me. Right now, I'm a senior at ODU, so I have been super busy with schoolwork and been worrying about budgeting and figuring out how to pay rent and tuition and all of that stuff, and have just gotten engaged. So it's been just really busy, and there's a lot going on. But in the midst of all of that, it's just been good to step back and kind of take a look at everything and figure out where my priorities are. How I've done that is to just start praying for other people more so than I would pray for myself, and that kind of has led to me being more generous in my giving and making sure that I'm always, considering others and in my giving, and not just locally but globally.
David was born in a Ugandan village, a nation suffering from civil conflict and turmoil. At a young age, LRA rebels invaded David's village, entered his home, and killed his parents. In the wake of this tragedy, David was ripped away from everything he knew. At the mercy of these warlords, they forced him into their ranks as a child soldier. At this impressionable age, David was trained to torture and even kill men, women, and children. These acts tormented David to the extent of wanting to take his own life. Through the help of Watoto Village, David was rescued from this vicious life. At Watoto, he was given shelter, food, education, and hope. He was taught about the love of Jesus, its forgiveness and comfort, a love that would forever change his life. Now, at 19 years old, David's goal is to be a leader in Uganda to help bring healing to this hurt land.
It can be really tough to keep the right perspective and to keep it fresh, but even with that, even with how busy things are and how hard it can be, it's just good to kind of just take my eyes off myself and realize in Uganda and across the world, there are kids who are starving. They don't have any food. They don't have parents. They are suffering from AIDS and from other preventable illnesses, and I have access to a doctor 24 hours a day. I have money to pay my tuition and to buy groceries, and I basically, for the price of a coffee, can help someone avoid starving to death and to give them a home and to give them a family again. While I may never actually get to go to Moscow or Uganda or anywhere else that we are impacting through missions, I do still get to be a part of that because of my giving to Wave Church.
Walk with me. I want to see what you see. eyes full of compassion, fill with love. Take away my selfish old desires, replace them with the heart to do your will. Your love, it covers over all my past regrets. Your love is greater than all I've ever known. Your love, it gives me wings to fly, and I know your love is mine. Your love covers over all my past regrets. Your love is greater than all I've ever known. Your love, it gives me wings to fly, and I know your love is
be a marriage that needs reconciliation, always someone in search of purpose, always a child needing provision, a church that needs to be planted, a well that needs to be dug, someone that needs a revelation of the impact they can have. It's your giving and the sacrifice of many that makes it possible for Wave Church to make a difference in the lives of people around the world. As we look to the future, Wave Church continues to expand its efforts to fulfill the vision of the house. This is our story. This is the whole story. This is Wave Foundation.
Amen. You receive it, church? Come on, that's the mission. That's the vision. We're going to change people's lives one life at a time. Amen? Okay, I got to get myself together here. You can be seated. Church, we've been doing this, a brick and a brick and a brick. And today and this year, I really want to tell you the whole story. When we give, once a month, we receive a building fund offering, not our tithe and our offering, a tithe and that goes to do all that we do here in Wave Church on a weekly basis. But when we give sacrificially by faith once a month, that, my friends, is what we're giving to. Yep. And we're not going to do the one brick at a time. We want to tell you the whole story. And so what we're doing is we're now including all of our mission giving and adding that to what we give to our building fund. And now we're going to call it Wave Foundation. Everybody say Wave Foundation. Now, it's not a separate company. It's not a separate 501c3. It's just what we do, how we give once a month. But now, when you bring friends even, and people come to church, and you invite your friend to church, and on that first Sunday of the month, as we give now our missions giving and our building fund commitment, it's now giving to Wave Foundation. And maybe your friend might say, hey, what's the second offering? What's this church doing with the focus on finance? We can tell them the whole story. I don't know if you connected the dots there, but Katie, I think she might have been in the first service, and Katie Nash, when she actually sponsored that little boy, David, he was that child soldier that now, thanks to her giving up a cup of coffee once a week, has seen that young man being rescued from a child soldier. We are working with some of the world's greatest organizations. And let me tell you something, that is the story, my friend. And when you come and you bring your friends, we can talk and we can boast on the influence that God has given us, not just locally, not just through TV locally, but around the world. That young man who was just lonely and depressed and turned on TV and saw Wave TV and gave his life to Jesus, plugged into a Norfolk campus. Isn't that exciting? When you think about a guy, Kevin O'Day, on that video, and I know that guy. He's a very successful business person. Trust me. He's one of the great business leaders in our church. I think it's the general manager of the Apple MacArthur Mall store, and has a lot of different business investments around the place, just driving. And listen to what he said. It was the building, the aesthetics that got him first to come into the place. How many thank God for a big church that can have a big influence in Jesus' name? Amen. So we're not going to receive on the third Sunday anymore a missions offering. We're going to receive once a month the Wave Foundation. And when you give to the Wave Foundation, you're giving to, yes, building the house of God. We can't afford to back off on any of that. Can somebody say amen? We have our kingdom people. I think we have those graphics up on the screen. If we do, let's throw them up. We have our kingdom people. These are people who give between $7,500 a year and million plus. I'm still praying in the $1 million in Jesus' name. Amen. But listen, what that means is, let's just say last year, for a business person or somebody who just really believes that God's really put it on their heart to be somebody who gave maybe say $5,000 last year to the building fund. And let's just say you gave $2,500 to mission last year. Well, if you put those two together this year, that's $7,500. Now you're a kingdom person. Does that make sense? And that's it, providing you just do the same as what you did last year. Can I encourage everybody here not to do the same as what you did last year? Who wants to have a repeat of last year? Well, just do the same of what you did last year. You'll get a repeat of it. How many wants to see breakthrough in Jesus' name? Amen? Well, there's the story, church. If, I don't know if that doesn't move you. I don't know what does, but that's the whole story. And when we give to Wave Foundation, that is what we give to in Jesus' name. Amen? To a little baby that was thrown in a gutter in Uganda, that the parent, the mother, no longer wants it. The baby has HIV, and we are working in Watoto with, we're sending medical teams, and we are supporting them big, big, big time. We're planting a church in Jerusalem, Israel, that the influence they're having, the pastor that we are supporting in Russia, the church we're planting this year in Ireland, in Jesus' name. Think about the opportunities God's given us as a church to wave City Care, people that are who bound up with addictions and tutoring and mentoring and education and back to school and giving people food on a weekly basis. My friends, that's what you give to when you give to Wave Foundation. If you got a problem with that, you've got a problem, because that's what we're doing. We're building God's house. We're helping our community. Come on, somebody get excited. Let me close with just maybe just a scripture and a thought. In 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 17, David had it in his heart to build a temple for the name of the Lord, the God of Israel. David had it in his heart. Can I tell you this? Look at me. Look, if this church didn't exist, none of that would be happening. Did you hear me? If this church wasn't here, none of that can be happening. This is a big church, and we want to have a big influence, and we have a big vision in Jesus' name. And so, you know, we can do a lot, because to whom much is given, much is expected. David had in his heart, look at me, church, 13 years ago, Sharon and I and our kids came here not to just pastor another church, same-o, with a nice, safe, mediocre vision. I believe God's called us here to build a church that will literally shake the foundations of Hampton Roads, to change this region, and to be a leader church that can bless the nation and the nations of the earth. I had it in my heart to build God a house. Look at 1 Chronicles chapter 29. Then David said to the whole assembly, this is a story in the Bible about David building a house. He said, my son Solomon, the one whom God has chosen, is young and inexperienced. The task is great because this palatial structure is not for man, but for God. Can I tell you, we didn't build this structure for man, but we built it for the Lord. Can you say amen? Come on. All right. Look at verse 6 now. The leaders of the families, the officers of the tribes of Israel, the commanders of thousands and the commanders of hundreds, and the officials in charge of the king's work. Look at this. Gave willingly. It says they gave toward the work of the temple of God 5,000 talents and 10,000 darcies of gold and 10,000 talents of silver and 80,000. Notice these things being measured in pounds, in weight. You with me here? It's not even the dollar value is so large. They're just talking about the weight of these things. And it says in talents of bronze and 100,000 talents of iron. And everyone who had precious stones gave them to the treasury of the temple of the Lord in the custody of Jehiel the Gershonite. It says, and the people rejoiced at the willing response of their leaders, for they had given freely and wholeheartedly to the Lord. And David the king also rejoiced greatly in Jesus' name. Can I tell you, here's a story in the Bible of David with a vision and leaders gathered around him, and their giving gave an example to others to also get involved. Can I tell you this, that our staff right here at Wave Church, over and above their tithe for the next 12 months, have committed to give just shy of $250,000 themselves, over and above their tithe. They are leading by example. These are the people that's written about here, the leaders of thousands, the leaders of hundreds. Our kingdom people, by the way, our kingdom people and our centurion, we want to be able to brag on your example. Some of you need to get your pledge in. Amen. And kingdom people who give, you know, 7,500 above, or centurions who give 2,500, the 7,500. Here the Bible says that David gave the vision and the people gave willingly in Jesus' name. And then, of course, the army of faithful believers. These are people who give $1 to $2,500 over and above their tithe for the next 12 months. What's it all for? Way Foundation. No, we're not doing anything new. There's no new vision. All we're trying to do is put it together in one story. Have you got it? That means there's a new church plan in Ireland. There's new initiatives we're going to be involved in. But we're just doing the same thing the Lord's called us. No longer just a brick at a time, but through Wave Foundation, when you give, that's what you give to. Anybody received this vision? Anybody excited about this vision? Here's what I need you to do. Listen to me. If you just pledge what you gave last year to the building fund and you don't consider your giving to missions, then we'll lose all the income we got from missions. Right. Did you hear me? So we got to make sure that we don't lose any of that, because we're putting it all together in one. So when we receive it, church, are you with me here? And so I want everybody, just as we close out this service, singers, musicians, come on back. I want everybody to just grab one of these cards here. Would you do it? Everybody all over the building, inside the, we haven't given these out yet, have we? Ushers, come quickly. I'm asking you to do something we haven't given you. I meant to give these out. We're going to give every person here a Wave Foundation brochure. And inside of this Wave Foundation brochure, we really go to great lengths to spell out all that we're involved in for the next 12 months and all that we want to do through Wave Foundation. And in there, you can read through it, what's happening in our South Campus, what's happening with our youth facilities, what's happening with our church planning, what we're doing through Wave TV, Wave City Care. You've seen the video, but this booklet really tells you a lot of great stories inside of that. Our future church plan in Sudan and all that we do with humanitarian aid and world disaster relief. Amen. And this is what I need you to do. I need you to take this card here. Would you do it now if you've got it? Would you pull the card out? Everybody, just hold it in the air so I can see you've got it. Come on, Ed. Oh, I love it, church. That's awesome. Thank you. Church, look at me. I want you to pray about it. If you're visiting today, I pray if you're from another church, all you're going to walk out of here today with is inspired of the blessing you can be to your church. Amen. But this is for people who call Wave Church their home. Look at me. Would you really prayerfully consider what you could believe God to do over and above your tithe? If you take this out of your tithe, you're not helping anybody. Amen. The tithe just helps us do all that God's called us to do on a weekly basis. All of this giving enables us to pay for Wave Convention Center, to pay for South, and now to do all that God's called us to do. Come on. All that God's called us to do around the world. So please don't just write what you gave to the building fund last year. Add to it all of the mission that we want to be involved in under the banner of Wave Church. And here's what it's got to be. Look at me, church. I believe with all my heart, the Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God. So don't just do what you know you can do. You know, Sharon and I, we've got a wedding coming up here pretty soon. And just for a moment, we could have been tempted to go, oh, we got a wedding, that's going to cost us. We need to back off a little bit. You know, Sharon and I have always said to be amongst the top five givers in Wave Church to this building fund and to now Wave Foundation. By the grace of God, we have always remained. We don't earn as much money as a lot of people in this church. But let me tell you something. By the grace of God, since the day we've been doing this for 12 years now, we have always been in the top five givers of Wave Church. This year, we decided even to take it up another level, and we've increased our faith pledge by $10,000. Not to give $10,000, to increase it by another $10,000. And I just want you to know, I believe in this. I believe in Wave Foundation. I believe we can change the world. I believe we can see people's marriages be healed. I believe we can see children rescued, thrown in a drain and left out with nowhere. I believe we can build God's house. I believe that the church is the hope of the world. I believe in the power of the church. I'm making faith and sacrifice myself. I'm not just doing what I know I can do. I want to make sure this is what I can do, and I'm going to add some faith to it. Everybody, take this card. And as over the next couple of weeks, we're going to ask you to prayerfully consider and make a faith pledge. Don't just say, oh, don't worry, I'll give once a month. Make a faith pledge. That helps us with our budgeting. It helps us in our cash flow. It helps us decide what we can do and when we can do it in Jesus' name. Amen? And I really do need the centurions and the kingdom people. We really need you to make sure you are not just financial leaders by your giving, but by your faith pledge. We need your leadership example for the church. So make sure you get your faith pledge in.
We hope you've enjoyed this teaching from Pastor Steve Kelly and Wave Church. For more teachings by Pastor Steve Kelly or information on Wave Church and our conferences, visit our website at wavechurch.com or contact us by phone at 1-757-481-5005.